Good morning. It's a beautiful morning today. It's supposed to be a beautiful day. I just want to make an announcement before we start announcements, actually. You may notice that in your bulletin, there is a little bit of a difference in the way we are doing things this morning. We are doing the announcements and the prayers and concerns, the joys and concerns right in the beginning at the same time. That way they can be removed from the live stream easier than the other way we're doing it, I guess. Something like that. Is that about it? Okay. So, are there any announcements or joys or concerns this morning? Prayer is not number 681. The call to worship is number 681 in the back of your hymn book. So would you turn to the back of your hymnal to 681. Now that I think about it, I need one too. Number 681, and let's read it as it is printed here. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy.
How majestic is the Lord Most High. How mighty is the great sovereign over all the earth.
Sing praises to God. Sing psalms in God's honor. Praise the Lord, all people. Praise God's everlasting name. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather on this special day to remember the ascension of our Lord, we know that his leaving was not the end of his ministry. It was the beginning, and the beginning of a new relationship with you. Father God, give us the vision of the living Christ and the continuing mission that has been given to us in the world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to our blue hymnals, to hymn number 68. And what is it? O Come Loud Anthems, Let Us Sing, I think, right? Yeah. Number 68. And let's stand, please.
Thank you.
Our first scripture this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. And if you're following along in your pew Bibles, it's on page 770. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
My first song in endless song, above her song.
Please bow for the offering prayer. Generous God, in appreciation for all you have blessed us with, we offer you these gifts from our hearts. We pray that you would receive them in the name of the one who ascended to heaven, so that our lives here on earth might be filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The offering plate is in the back of the sanctuary for anybody that has any offering to put in it, and those of you at home can mail it to the church's address. Let's continue with hymn number 288, Rejoice the Lord is King, and let's stand, please. Our next scripture is from Book of John, chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. 11, 1 to 45, and in your pew Bibles you can find that on 760. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for the sake and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in this place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to see to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with him also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he had been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind them and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him.
Whew, that was a long one, right? We had to tell the whole story, though. You have to know the whole thing. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see all of you here and at home. So welcome to this season of resurrection and ascension. A few weeks ago, we talked about Peter raising Tabitha. And we're going to tackle the story of Lazarus today. When I knew I was going to preach about Lazarus, I wondered what his name meant. What I found out is that Lazarus is derived from the Hebrew word El Azar, which has two parts. The first, El, means God. And the second part, Azar, means to help or support. So together, these two parts form the full meaning of Lazarus's name. God has helped. This is quite an understatement considering what we know of Lazarus, right? I mean, he was raised from the dead. So it begs the question, what else did God help? When we get to the story of Lazarus, we're in John 11, and Jesus is coming to the end of his ministry, and we know what happens the following week. Just before Jesus goes to his dear friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he is back where he started his ministry, across the Jordan to a place where John the Baptist had been baptizing earlier. And the prior week's journey, and really Jesus' entire three-year ministry, it's a series of radical sermons, miraculous acts, dangerous confrontations with nervous Jews, and sweet relationships with his disciples. Yet, in most of these situations, the people around him are just a little thick-headed. I mean, over a period of 3 years, can you imagine people just like us listening to Jesus and watching him with furrowed brows and dropped jaws? Put yourself in their shoes. As John the Baptist pulls Jesus in and up out of the water, and God's voice booms down from the heavens. As Jesus heals the blind, lame, deaf, and demented. As Jesus spars verbally with the Pharisees and wins every time. As Jesus cleverly straddles the Roman Empire and God's kingdom. As Jesus fulfills the messianic prophecies to a T. It was a supernatural time, heralded by angels, and the disciples can't believe their eyes or their ears. And maybe we wouldn't either. So now, it's 1 week before Passover, and still, Jesus' disciples don't quite get what's going on. They don't really know who Jesus is. And they don't get the bigger implications of his life and death. Even though he's been explaining and proving and showing over and over. Finally, in John 10, Jesus gets blunt and says, "Father and I are one." Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Yet, this doesn't go over well. It prompts the nervous Jews he's with to pick up their stones and accuse him of blasphemy. They tell him, "You, though only a human being, are making yourself God." Well, yeah, that's what we'd say. Meanwhile, across the Jordan, near the river, Jesus makes progress in gathering disciples. Some people realize that everything John the Baptist said about this man was true. Jesus scores some believers, but maybe not enough. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters send a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." Now, if you heard your best friend was ill, what would you do? You'd probably pack your jammies and your toothbrush, get in the car, put the pedal to the metal, and go straight for your friend, right? That's what we would do. But not Jesus. Though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus knows his dear friend is sick and dying, but he hangs out longer, way longer, than is comfortable or sane by anyone else's standards. He waits until Lazarus is asleep. He says to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." Now, isn't it curious that Jesus uses the word asleep? It's a term ancient Near Eastern people used as a euphemism for being dead. And yet, the disciples won't understand how accurate the word is until later. For now, Jesus has to tell them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Sadly, though, not only is Lazarus dead, he's 4 days dead, like irretrievably dead, like there's a stench dead. Jesus and his disciples, when they finally arrive in Bethany, they walk into this cloud of mourning. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. It's an awful time. Many of you have been through times like this, when a loved one passed away, and your friends and family rush to be by your side, to cry with you, to hold you up when you can't even stand. Or maybe you were the one rushing to be by someone else's side. Many of us have been in the shoes of Martha and Mary, and in the shoes of Jesus, the mourner and the comforter. But keep in mind that Jesus, when he knew Lazarus was dying, stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Martha is not happy about this. She tries to be gracious and glad that Jesus has finally arrived, but she laments, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus provides reassurances in this tense and profoundly sad interaction. But we get the sense that no one around him quite understands what's really going on and what's going to happen or why. Jesus summons Mary and she hurries to him in a burst of pain, like the kind of piercing pain we have when we've lost someone we love and we feel helpless and all at once angry and desperate and empty. So filled with grief that we cry out, "God!" Then Jesus, in one of the most tender moments in his ministry, says to Mary, "Where have you laid him?" He weeps with Mary and the others as they approach Lazarus's tomb, and he says, "Take away the stone." Martha, ever the homemaker, even in her grief, thinks this is a very bad idea. "Lord, there is already a stench." But Jesus insists, so they obey him and they take away the stone. And Jesus looks upward and he says to the Father, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here so that they may believe that you sent me." Now, if you or me were Jesus, the bubble over our head would read, "Oh, please, 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 God, make this miracle happen or I'm going to look like a big fool." But Jesus, he's cool. He's got this. He cries out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus, thank God, does. For Jesus, it was as easy as waking up a man who was asleep. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. The Pharisees met, they tried to figure out what to do, because if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe. In the Gospel of John, the verb believe appears 98 times, which is more than all the other synoptic Gospels combined. In fact, John's Gospel contains almost one-third of all the biblical references to the word believe. So now we circle back to the name Lazarus. What does it mean? What does it mean?
God has helped.
God has helped. And now we know that helping Lazarus come back from the dead was the least of what God did. Lazarus's name wasn't even referring to what God did for Lazarus. What God did, what Jesus did in raising Lazarus, was to help us believe. To believe that even when God waits for what feels like way too long to jump into our crisis, God will. To believe that when finally in our weakness, when we're wrecked and broken, when we fall to our knees before God, God is right there weeping with us. To believe that when God says, "Take away the stone," and commands us to come out, we will, even though we think it's impossible. To believe that just as we stumble toward our God, we will shed everything that binds us like Lazarus. We will be free and unburdened and alive. To believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that we who believe in him, even though we die like Lazarus did, we live. And that this is just the beginning of the story. Because as Acts tells us, he ascended into heaven and he will come again. To believe that God's kingdom ultimately leads to life everlasting, and that everything we do, no matter how sad, how ugly, how awful, how unjust, will somehow, someday be redeemed, and it will glorify God. To believe that God sent Jesus for you and for me, and that we just have to believe. Jesus said to Martha, and he says it to us, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Why is it so important to Jesus that we believe? And what kind of belief are we talking about anyway? I mean, it's more than just believing milk is white or this carpet is blue. Maybe it's so that we can release ourselves from this world for just a moment, like we do when we read a book of fiction, and imagine what it might be like to be there. Like when we read C.S. Lewis and walk through the wardrobe into a different place. Well, that's part of it. Using our imaginations to envision God is great, but I think the kind of belief God is trying to instill in us is even more than that. What if lifting the veil of disbelief is about glimpsing into the real divine realm where God lives, our first home, and allow our minds to be blown because we know that this is non-fiction? In fact, that's our greatest reality. Meditate on the story of Lazarus, especially from the perspectives of Martha and Mary. I mean, how would you feel before and after? Transformed, right? The Bible is filled with stories of God trying again and again to help us believe, to open our minds and hearts to miracles. Over 1,000 years before Jesus raised Lazarus and before Jesus himself rose from the dead, the great prophet Hosea called us to believe. He said, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn and he who will heal us. He has struck down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will rise up that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth." Think about that when it rains, right? The story of Lazarus, just like the story of Tabitha, is not fiction. It's a true story. Remember in the other gospel accounts, Lazarus wasn't the only person Jesus brought back to life. So what was the difference between Lazarus's raising and the other accounts? 4 days. Why on earth did Jesus wait 4 days to raise Lazarus? J. Warner Wallace, whom I would call a forensic theologist, he says, "The Jews of this time period believed until 3 days after death, the soul keeps on returning to the grave, thinking that it will go back into the body. But when it sees that the facial features have become disfigured, it departs and abandons the body." So Jesus waited until all hope was lost for waiting for death's confirmation. Only then, when death was sure, did Jesus raise Lazarus. And the result was stunning amongst the Jews whom he held these primary beliefs about death and the soul. They became believers. Lazarus' raising and Jesus' resurrection can't be explained beyond God's power and presence. They help us believe in God's beautiful, perfect, supernatural world that Jesus showed us, a world where people are healed and reconciled to one another, where we can eat at God's table as one family, where Jesus comes back to be with us again, and where we can walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day. because God has helped us not only believe, but know that death has been defeated. Amen. Please rise to sing, "In the Bulb There Is a Flower," in your hymnal number 614. Let's pray. God, thank you for all the ways you help us believe. Thank you also for the promise of returning to be with us in the flesh, and for hearing our prayers, protecting us, healing us, and blessing us. May our enemies become friends, the hungry and poor have plenty, the oppressed be uplifted, those who are mourning, depressed, confused, and anxious, have peace of mind. May wars stop and all weapons be dropped in your name. May our children and youth thrive. May the sick be healed and the dead rise. May all of creation be restored. May leaders of the world be led by love. May workers be fulfilled through the fruits of their labor. May all who serve our country in any way be blessed with your peace. May this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and pets be protected and enveloped in your love. God, we love you, and we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise for our ascending. God has helped us believe through Lazarus. So when you go outside, look up into the sky as the disciples did. Because the same Jesus who they saw go up into the heavens will return. Come out, awaken, and know that God's kingdom has no end. And look forward to life everlasting and the world to come. Let's sing Go, My Children, verses 2, 3, 4 in your hymnal, number 433.